Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Matt Storrs, and welcome to Mattsplaining. On today's episode, I have an expert on who I'm very excited to talk with. Expert, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're an expert of.
Hi, I'm Gregory Hall, and I'm an expert in horror, mainly black horror.
Fantastic. I have spoken to some people previously about horror, and now this more specific area I think is really, really interesting, because what I understand is that there's been a big shift in the last decade with the dark lighting and specifics in these movies with the shadows. There'll be something in the background that are as they're stalking our main character, what have you, and you're not necessarily going to be able to see that on a phone screen, but you'll be able to get the faint outline on a movie screen. They have to be seen in a theater because the lighting is so low that on a normal television screen or computer screen or even a phone screen, you're not going to get the same experience. A lot of people think of movies like Jordan Peele's movies, for instance, these movies where they are getting into a situation where it's like, oh, maybe this is kind of humorous, and you're going to get into a situation where like, oh, maybe these people aren't so bad, but then you get the underpinnings of these people's intentions, and you ultimately get circumstances where it reveals aspects of character and aspects of culture that you wouldn't necessarily get in a traditional film. If it was presented in just like a drama or a comedy, it might be easy to kind of dismiss those concepts. Whereas by demonstrating the horror, like, you can get people kind of empathize in a way and empathize with the fear and be like, oh my God, could people actually have to deal with racism? And I think that's kind of a beautiful thing, that it kind of has opened up people's eyes in a lot of ways. But at the same time, I think that there's been a lot of investment in the blood technology and to get the blood to the point where it does look the viscous dark color that people will believe that it's blood. Famously, in the black and white days, they would have stuff that was like yellow or blue, but you would never know that it was yellow or blue because it's was black and white. But now people have this expectation, like, your blood has to look like blood. And a lot of people don't know this, but the blood that they use is actually kind of like a sugary coating. And it's maybe not sugary. Once it gets on somebody's body, it becomes a sugary coating. But ultimately, it's kind of a very sticky, sweet kind of thing. And I personally have had some of it on my body, and I gotta say that it gets everywhere. The droplets, they get on places you don't think that they're gonna get, and then a couple days later you look at your posterior and you're like, huh, do I need to see a dermatologist, or is this going to come off in a couple of days? And usually it does come off in a couple of days, but I do advocate for people to go to their dermatologist if they have been exposed to these really viscous, sugary concoctions, because sometimes they can be a skin irritant. A lot of people, you don't realize you have sensitive skin until you have sensitive skin, if that makes sense. So I think that's one important thing that a lot of people don't realize, is that you have to get the right kind of blood viscosity and color onto these films these days. And if you don't have the right amount of the black pigment in that blood to make it more of a maroon, more of a wine color, I think you can lose a lot of the viewing public, because they have this blood expectation that they don't always take account for in many movies. Now, based on what you've heard so far, about how much of that would you say is accurate?
Not much, actually.
Okay.
He got really into the specifics of the blood and everything, and the shadows. I'm like, I mean, visually, those are certain horror films, or black horror films, or horror films made by black filmmakers. But essentially, the aesthetics, that could be in any type of horror film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And blood, far as the blood, that is, like, I think a personal preference, far as whoever's the filmmaker is. I think when it comes to black horror, what makes it kind of like a subgenre that's been different. It's one, there's been a history of Black people in horror, and it's gone through even to even the conception of horror as a genre in filmmaking from the beginning. And I think now it has evolved to where we're putting out stories of what frightens us. And it makes it a little bit different because, and I've always said this, and I say this on stage when I perform, it's like when you watch horror films, you watch these slasher films, say like Michael Myers or somebody like that. To us, Michael Myers is not scary. What's scary to us is living in this particular country and facing those type of horrors. Like, all Michael Myers is like, say, like oppressive white people. Mm-hmm. that's what's scary to us. The police, that's scary. That's a horror film.
Oh yeah, I mean, Michael Myers is the whitest of the white with that mask on. And then I want to say at some point he puts on a cop uniform to like as a disguise or something. I know he dresses as a firefighter at one point. Sorry, that's a spoiler, I think. But yeah, I can understand how that would be very, very frightening.
Right. And I think also it's just the nature of people. Like, for example, there's a film called Tales from the Hood
that came out. Yes, I love Tales from the Hood.
Yes, came out in 1995. I believe that film actually played a huge role in Jordan Peele, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And his influence in his work. And then when you look at Tales from the Hood, there's a lot of social commentary in each of those stories. It's if anybody's ever seen Tales from the Hood, it's a horror anthology, very based like a Tales from the Crypt type of format, and has a bunch of short stories. And a lot of these short stories, the Tales from the Hood, have more social commentary undertow to it. Like, there's one story that deals with police brutality, and this is not a spoiler, the movie's been out for like 30-some years. Story about a Black political figure who was against police corruption, and the police killed him and made it look like he was taking drugs and ruined his name. And this guy comes back and takes revenge, and he takes revenge on a Black officer that didn't help. And that even has a little bit of commentary on it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
If you really look into it, there's another story that deals with domestic violence. There's another story that deals with racism. And in that particular story with racism is actually kind of scary. It's like a Simpson episode that's predicting the future, because that character resembles a lot like a guy that once was in charge of this country at one point.
Right.
That deals with African spirituality. And then there's another story that deals with the gang violence. So, and then you go even further into other works like Jordan Peele. There's another horror film. I have not seen it yet, but there's what I heard is good. It's called The Angry Black Girl and Her Monster, which is kind of like a retelling of Frankenstein.
Right.
Yes, retelling of Frankenstein. There's another one called Bad Hair, which deals with like this hair that's possessed, but has a lot of commentary about Black people and our relationship with hair and the history with that. So I think with us, it's our horror is very, very different, because in a horror scenario, we hear rumblings in the woods, we're not going to investigate it. This would be a very short horror film, you know what
right?
I mean? It would be like if, say, if I'm in Paranormal Activities and I go in the house, like literally, it would just be like the credit, Paranormal Activities, we gone. Credits, like
there has to be the dynamic of the danger seeks you out, so to speak, as opposed to the more traditional horror where it's people are they're going to the cabin in the woods.
Yeah, absolutely. And then like also what a lot of people don't know is that when you look even go say towards the 70s, there were actually very prominent Black horror films that are great to this day that still hold up, like Blackula. People may go, "Whoa, that blaxploitation film?" Like, no, watch Blackula. It's actually a very, very great horror film. To the point, I'm blanking on the actor's name who played Blackula. Sorry, I smoke a lot of weed. But he was a Broadway actor, and he was so great in that role. And what was so great about that particular film, in the beginning of the film, starts off with this character during the transatlantic slave trade, where he is a free slave, but he is this very well-spoken, educated man, and he's having this meeting with Dracula about ending the slave trade. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And this is something we, even back then, you didn't see in films. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's enough. There's a lot of hidden gems. And then in the 80s, that's when, as far as our role in Black cinema, kind of started taking a nosedive, because you had the era of slashers. Right. And that's when you had all these crazy tropes. It's like, okay, you're the Black person, you're going to be the first to go. You know what I mean? There's a lot of hidden tropes that a lot of people don't realize. Like, one hidden trope is that, if you ever notice in certain horror films, there's always the really big, tough Black dude. And they purposely put this particular character in there because they look at it as, well, if the killer can beat this guy, then he really must be a bad dude. You know what I mean?
Right.
That type of stuff. And then I think now a lot of Black filmmakers have kind of just say, no, we're not doing that. We're going to control our own narrative, and we're going to show what frightens us, because I believe great horror comes from actual fear. And I think that's why a lot of like Jordan Peele films like Get Out, Us, work very well, because these are real things that, yes, they're in the realm of horror and those suspension of disbelief, but can happen. You know what I mean? It is scary. Like, if you look at the very beginning of Get Out, when the guy, when Lakeith Stanfield's character is walking in this very upscale white neighborhood, I've been there. I know that nervousness. I know that fear. You know what I mean?
I think happens so well in Black horror films that I've seen, is that there's a higher expectation about the intelligence of the characters and their decision-making. Mm-hmm. And so you're getting into a situation where it's like people, the justifications for their actions is so much better than you get in a slasher movie or like a traditional horror movie, because sometimes people are like, I'm getting out of here, I'm leaving. And then it's the agency is taken away from them because the bad guy is thought two steps ahead, or they're so, like in the Get Out situation, they're so in depth into a situation that they didn't realize was dangerous that they have to escape, as opposed to it being something where like they're leading themselves astray.
That's pretty accurate. And I think also too, it's just because those things don't make sense to us. Like, they know we're fans of horror too, and they know our reaction to fear and horror, and those, they're not gonna fly with us. Right. It's like, no, I'm not going to investigate anything upstairs. I'm not going to investigate if I hear rumbling. Like, I actually just recently just saw something on, I think it may have been on like IG or something. It was this mother talking to her son, and they was doing like, and I mean, it's crazy. I feel for these kids now. They have to go through these evacuation drills with all these school shootings and everything. And he's literally explaining to his mother how he's like, not like, fuck. Cause like they had like some sort of drill. And when they did the drill, he did not follow protocol as what they told the students to do. He went and did his own thing. This kid went and had his own escape route, because at first he didn't know they were doing a drill, so he really did panic. But he literally thought out an entire plan that he already had. And he's like, I'm going to do this, 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 and that. I'm not, he's like, why would you not, the mother, why would you not follow the evacuation plan if this happens? He goes, because the kids thought it was real too. They're screaming, they're going to get me killed. I'm going out the window, down the pole. She's like, even hitting the concrete? Yes, I will meet the concrete. I may have a broken ankle, but I'll be alive, at home, and well. I was like,
right. And just like the exigency of a situation being like, how do I get to a position of safety?
One of the things I wanted to go back to, like, yeah, usually like everything that you had like said or explained is more of an aesthetic.
Right.
But aesthetics, there's something to say about aesthetics in certain Black horror films, because a lot of it is kind of like another character. It gives you that sense of that world. You know what I mean? If you look at, like you mentioned, The Blood, there is a horror film that Snoop Dogg was in called Bones that came out, I want to say, in the early 2000s, I believe. And in that particular film, the blood in there it looked weird. It was very, like, thick and kind of like, it kind of even looked almost pink a little bit. It looked kind of like Pepto-Bismol. And I remember when I watched it at first, I didn't like it. But then over the years of rewatching it, I'm like, okay, I think it just fit to the aesthetics of this film. And it now looking back on it, it does work. It does give it a different look. It was directed by Ernest Dickerson, I believe. And he's a major, to me, I don't think he gets enough credit. He has directed so many things in horror. And he's been in films for a while. He actually started with Spike Lee. He was his DP for many years. So he broke out on his own. And he actually, I don't know if you ever heard of this film called Juice. That was his first film he ever directed on his own. Now, here's the thing. It's so funny because I'm bringing up Ernest Dickerson. Now, Juice is considered not a horror film at all. But if you've seen Juice, I'll give you a quick breakdown of what Juice is. And it's anybody knows it's starring the legendary Tupac Shakur, Omar Epps when they were young. And it's about four friends growing up in Harlem. And they decide to rob a, one's a DJ and he has dreams of making it big at hip hop and being a DJ. And they all decide that they're going to rob this convenience store. Long story short, goes wrong. Tupac's character gets very power hungry with the gun, and now he's killing everybody. If you watch Juice, it's not a horror film, but I am a firm believer that this was a soft slasher film. Because if just with a gun, if you literally watch the film and you take out the gun and put it like a butcher knife, and you look, you have yourself a classic slasher slash thriller. And I think when you look at Ernest Dickerson's work from when he started the Juice to he's done Demon Knight, he's done a lot of things to horror. You can tell that he was gonna start flirting with horror, and I felt like this was kind of like a soft entryway. He kind of took the script that wasn't horror. It's very kind of scary. Like there's a scene where like Omar Epps' character is meeting Tupac at the water in Harlem and East River or whatever, and literally how Tupac comes out of the shadows is very like stalkerish. Like you know, it's very slasher movie villain type of vibe. So I always say yes, it's not a good set of horror film, but it's definitely a good watch.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, now that you say that, I haven't seen that movie in quite a while, but I definitely can see how you can interpret it that way, that it does have a lot of that kind of feel to it for sure. Gregory, this has been so insightful. If people wanted to learn more about this topic or wanted to learn more about you, where would you recommend that they go?
Well, you can follow me on Instagram. You can follow me at Gregory7Gemini on IG. You can also, there's a good documentary called Horror Noir. You can watch it. It was on Shudder, which is like a horror app, but I believe it could be on AMC Plus too. If you don't have Shudder, it might be on AMC Plus or it might be on another streaming service. I'm not sure, but it's such a great documentary. It really just goes through the entire history. I recommend it's a horror noir. Definitely, if you want to see Tales from the Hood, that's on some streaming services. I believe it's on Peacock and on Tubi. I would highly recommend that. I think also Tubi has Juice. I know it's not a horror film, but just
It's a
watch
great
Juice.
movie. It's a great
It's a
movie.
great movie, but you can see the notes of horror in there. So I would say that obviously watch Get Out and all that stuff. If you can find those films, watch Blackula, watch JD's Revenge. Yeah, I think those are some definitely good films to watch. And yeah, like I said, you can follow me on Instagram, Greg7Gemini.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time, and I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day.
Awesome. You too. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Greg.
Absolutely. My name is Matt Storrs, and this has been Mattsplaining. Quick shout out to Ryan Lawson, who made the theme music for Mattsplaining. He's part of Beat Blender Studios, which can be found at Beat Blender Studios on Instagram and TikTok. Or if you're in the market for some amazing music, you can contact him directly at beatblenderstudios@gmail.com.